The Cavalcade of Kings. Edward the First, Episode 1. Edward was the son of Henry III and Eleanor of Provence, and was born at Westminster on June the 17th, 1239. He was just, unselfish, reverent of duty, and deeply religious. "No man ever asked mercy of me and was refused," he said in his old age. And the rough nobility of his nature was shown at Falkirk when he lay on the bare ground among his men, or in his refusal during a Welsh campaign to drink of the one cask of wine that had been saved. "It is I who have brought you to this strait, and I will have no advantage over you in meat or drink," he said to his soldiers. In 1270, while still a prince, he joined forces with Louis IX of France on the last of the Crusades. His wife Eleanor secretly followed him on his pilgrimage, and after his victory at Acre, we find him resting alone in his tent. A messenger arrives from a Saracen noble called the Emir of Jaffa.
"Sir Prince, a dark-skinned messenger of the Emir of Jaffa seeks audience with thee. He says the message concerns thy life."
"My life, huh? My death, more likely. What manner of man is he?"
"Of evil countenance, and I'll wager his heart is steeped in craft and cunning, although his bearing is servile enough. He says he has traveled far across the burning sands to seek thy favor."
"Would that he had chosen a better hour than that of the blazing noon to seek my favor."
"Thou art ill, Sir Prince. Prithee, allow me to send this dark-skinned infidel dog on his way."
"Nay, I am not ill, good soldier. It is but this cursed heat which melts the marrow in my bones and leaves me with but puny strength. Bid the messenger of the Emir to my presence."
"Enter, O messenger."
"O great and glorious prince, thou who art full of every gem and scent, thou who art fragrant with the fragrance of the earth and many a herb, thou who bringest joy and enlightenment to this benighted land of unbelief."
"Hold, O messenger. I have no stomach for thy flowery speech. What is thy business with me? Speak and then depart, for I am not of the mood to bandy words with thee."
"I am come from my master, the Emir of Jaffa, O noble lord."
"What does your master want of me?"
"My master is repentant, and he bade me say to thee, O fair newcomer from afar, that he has pondered for many nights upon thy Christian faith, and like a moth tortured by the flame, he also is tortured by his own doubts. Alas," he sighs, "can it be that I have worshipped at the altar of a false god, forsaking the truth in my ignorance?"
"Thou liest, messenger. My reason is best known to thyself, but thou still liest. The Emir of Jaffa is not repentant. He is no sinner seeking the true faith of Christianity, but a black-hearted infidel fostering his own evil schemes."
"Nay, O noble lord, I speak the truth. My master is in deep despair. He wrings his hands, he beats his breast, crying, if he would only hail me, if I could bind him down to myself by his image of love within my heart, if he would only lift me up, and if I could but hold his helping hand within mine own."
"Would that I could believe in thee, O messenger. But I cannot. The liar is writ clear upon thy countenance."
"Wouldst thou believe the written words of my master, noble prince?"
"Perchance I would."
"Then read what is writ upon this parchment, which I now give thee."
"And may God send me the faith to believe that which I read."
"May Allah guide my hand."
"Oh, talk of an infidel! You would murder me. Give me that knife. Give it to me. You hear?"
"Thou shalt have it, prince, in thy heart. Oh. Now, my hands from my throat. Thou art choking me."
"Aye, as I would a rat."
"Stop the life of our prince.
Take him away. You know what we do with assassins. Aye, then see to it."
"Have mercy, for the love of Allah. Have mercy, O
Lord." "Silence! Now, dog of Mithril, thou shalt die within the hour."
"Gracious lady, I am forced to intrude upon my privacy and crave your pardon for so doing. I would have speech with thee."
"Speak, good soldier."
"'Tis time, lady, that thou shouldst reveal thy presence to thy lord, who is at death's door."
"How came your prince to this sorry state, soldier?"
He was wounded by the dagger of a would-be assassin some days hence.
Oh, why was I not informed ere this?
The wound was not dangerous then, noble lady. But my lord is now ravaged with a foul poison with which, doubtlessly, the blade was smeared.
Conduct me to my lord at once. Edward, my beloved husband.
Oh, Eleanor.
Oh, do my eyes play cursed tricks upon me?
Nay, you see aright, my dear one. It is Eleanor.
Oh, but I do not understand. I left you in England.
You did, my lord. But I followed you on your pilgrimage as soon as I dared. I have always been near you, at Tunis, at Acre, and now here.
And you wear knightly armor, beloved?
In order to disguise and protect myself. I have also borne arms, Edward. And at Acre, I was the 13th man on your right.
Oh, my beautiful lady. Why did you endanger your life in such fashion?
Because I wanted to be near you. To die with you if need be. For I should not want to live without you. Oh, Edward, Edward, forgive my immodesty. I but obey the dictates of my heart, which loves thee well.
Oh, blessed wife. Come close to me that I may kiss thy brow in reverence.
Then, thou art not angry with me?
Angry? Nay, my beautiful lady. In me full of regret that I was not made aware of the nearness of your sweetness there. And now, I fear me, you have arrived too late. For I am consumed with a cursed poison which will destroy me.
No. No, my husband. I will not let you die. I will fight and fight and keep on fighting for the life I love so dearly. Tell me, where is thy wound?
Beneath this covering upon my arm. It is not a pretty sight, Eleanor.
I will see it nevertheless. Yes, yes, let me.
No, no.
Here, sit down. Edward, God have mercy, how awful.
Aye, the poison has ravaged the flesh for inches around it.
Then I will draw the poison away from it so that it might heal.
No, it is easier said than done, Eleanor. Even the apothecary and his leeches have failed.
The apothecary has not the means at hand that I possess, my beloved.
And what means will you employ, my beloved, to draw out the poison which is killing me?
I shall use my lips, the lips you so often have kissed. Remember, Edward, my darling, love conquers all things. Yea, even the poison of an infidel's knife.
And so, Eleanor saved the life of Edward, a great risk to her own, by sucking the poison from his wound. 2 months later, they started for home, and at Capua on January 1273, he heard of his father's death. In 1274, he was crowned King of England, and at his coronation received the homage of Alexander III of Scotland. Prince Llewellyn of Wales was also required to swear allegiance to him, but refused to do so. Finally, after subduing 2 Welsh princes in succession, Edward united Wales to his English kingdom. It is now April the 25th, 1284, and we find Edward and Eleanor at Carnarvon Castle, where a young prince was born to the English monarch. Edward and the Earl of Salisbury are standing at a window watching a vast crowd of people who have gathered in the courtyard below.
The crowd steadily increases in numbers, my Lord Earl. It would seem that mine is not the only anxious heart in Wales this day.
God send that all is well with her gracious majesty.
Ah, we soon shall know, good friend.
By your leave, sire.
Well, what seek ye, captain of the guard?
Sire, my men have reported the presence of the old Welsh barge in the crowd below. I fear me they seek to stir up strife.
Forsooth, good captain, ye must cast malice from your heart, and remember not the days when there was bitterness and hatred of the English in the hearts of the Welsh people. We are now at peace, one with the other. What say ye, my Lord Earl?
I am in accord with your majesty, but we must not forget it was these same minstrels who stirred up strife before with their fiery, untamed songs.
Tell me, good captain, what have your soldiers heard?
Sire, they say the bards sing their native ballads, and one of their number, the long grey beard, declared that Merlin had predicted that when English money had become round, a Prince of Wales would conquer England and be crowned king in London.
Sire, you but recently forbade the English penny to be cut in halves and quarters for halfpence and farthing, and introduced a round coin to prevent this from being done.
Yea, my Lord Earl, I am aware of it.
Sire, the Welsh birds say that this is what Merlin meant.
Cunning, crafty knaves, they seek to drench the land in blood once more.
Be not alarmed, good friend. God will set our paths aright.
of joyous tidings.
Speak, my lady, speak, and set my heart at peace.
A son has been born to thee, sire.
A son, I thank thee, God, I thank thee.
Our gracious queen is asking for thee, sire.
Light can travel no faster than I to my beloved side. My lord Earl, set the church bells pealing. Have the bonfires kindled. Hoist the royal standard on every pole, and let the world rejoice with me, whose cup of happiness brims over. My people, legend hath it that when English money became crown, a Prince of Wales would be crowned King of England. See, here is an English coin which is round, and here in my arms is my son who was born on Welsh soil. He is your countryman. He will dwell amongst you and shall speak your Welsh tongue. He will become Prince of Wales, and at my death shall be crowned King of England. Thus shall Merlin's prophecy be fulfilled, not in bloodshed and the savagery of war, but in love and peace and with the blessing of God. Wilt thou, my people, take this true son of Wales for your prince?